Let's get into the scripture. I'm going to talk today from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, it's in chapter 30. I'm going to read, I think, about the first 7 or 8 verses. And it came to pass when David and his men were in Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag, and it was burned with fire, and had taken the women captive that were in it. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. And David's 2 wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring here the ephod. And Abiathar brought there and the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall we pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for I shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And so David went, he and the 600 men. I'm going to stop right in the middle of the verse. Let's pray with us. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the folks that's come out here at Boscadale Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, that you knew who was going to be here. Lord, thank you that your presence is here. And thank you that as we open the word, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit is here to speak to us and through us. And help me, O Lord, to be able to say things in such a way that has continuity, has clarity, and, Lord, that makes it easily understood, that people can hear what you're saying to them. Lord, speak to my heart. Allow me to grow from it. And as we look up to you, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is ever present to work in our lives. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I really like this portion of scripture that I shared with you this morning. I've spoke about it in times past, but what I want to share with you today, I've never spoken about it before, but it's something that stood out to me. Now, I've got to tell you just a little bit of history, and I'll try to be a little bit, I'll be brief about this. You know, David, being the youngest of Jesse's sons, was anointed king long before he became king. He has slain Goliath of Gath, the giant, and he has been used as the chief of the bodyguards of King Saul, and he's been elevated into a place where when women come out to celebrate the recovery or the return of the armies of Israel, they'll say, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And so there's a bit of jealousy that arose in Saul's heart, the king. And Saul is chased David all over all over Israel, over the countryside, with intents of killing him. And David has fled until the point that he's decided that the best place for him to go is to go over to the enemies, to the Philistines. And so he's went over to the Philistines, and they're going over to the Philistines. They've given him a city. The Philistines gave him a city called Ziklag in the south of Judah. They gave him this city that he and his families and his people. David has a standing army of about 600 men, and that's not counting their wives and their children. And they live in Ziklag. And David wanted to join himself to the Philistines, actually to fight against his own country, the Israel. And the Philistines didn't trust him. They said, "We just don't, you know, put any stock that you might turn in the middle of battle and be for your own people." And so they've sent David and his men back home, and they've went on a 3-day march, and they've covered about 25 miles a day, and they're coming back home. And as they come up, they see that Ziklag has been burnt to the ground. It's gone. The Amalekites, someone that Saul should have destroyed a long time ago. You know his story. That's how he lost the kingship, because he didn't completely obey God and destroy the Amalekites. The Amalekites have shown up, and they burned the city of Ziklag. And they've took David's family, his wives, his two wives, and the children, and all of the men, these 600 men, took all their families captive. But they didn't know this. All they knew was that when they got home, that home was no longer. It was burnt to the ground, and everyone that they thought that would be there to greet them was gone. And it said now you got to understand where David's armies come from. They was a bunch of mercenaries. These wasn't your choir boys. They was people that said they were in debt. They were people that was we would call ex-felons. They wasn't the cream of the crop, but they were people that had been mercenaries. David and them had ravaged the countryside, to be honest with you. And these were men of war, and we see them heartbroken. They're crying. They cried, as we use the phrase, they cried their eyes out. They cried till they couldn't cry anymore. And in their being upset and all the things took place, they even talked about stoning David. And so David, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now there's a sermon right there, but I want to go just a little bit farther. David called for the priest. Now, Saul had killed most of the other priests that had helped David out, and this one was spared, and so he was with David. And so they called for the ephod. The ephod was this apron-like thing that the priests wore, and they had these stones in it called we don't know exactly how to pronounce it, the Urim and the Tom, and somehow they use these stones to decipher the Lord's will. But here's the sermon, okay? Here's the sermon. Now, the obvious has just happened. The obvious has just happened. The enemy has come, burned your house to the ground, burned your neighbor's house, burned everybody's in the city's house to the ground, took everybody in the city somewhere. We don't know if they're alive or dead or whatever. And the obvious have took place. And David comes before the Lord and said, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Now, I want you to grasp hold of that for just a moment. Because oftentimes when we look at circumstances in life, we don't take time to ask the Lord. We just do. And today, the title of the sermon is Initiation. Initiation talks about beginnings. What do you do to start with? What's the initial thing that you do? Oftentimes, people ask the question, why did God allow this to happen? We see a tragedy take place. We see a physical tragedy. We see a storm. We see a flood. We see a horrendous crime takes place. We see somebody that they lose everything financially. And people oftentimes they ask the question, why did God allow this to happen? And I had a very smart theology teacher one time tell me that maybe this is not the question we should ask. The question we should ask is not so much of why did God allow this to happen, but where's God at? Where's God at in this? And that's exactly what David did. David said, we need to find out what the Lord wants. Now, last time I was here, I talked about how that we are God's workmanship, and God, we're created for good works. God wants to use us. And I emphasize that we as older adults are the cream of the crop, because God uses the weak things and the foolish things and the things that are not to confound the wisdom of the wise. God uses people like us. We're a miracle man. We're in a place where God can use us. And the thing about it is, oftentimes we miss the Lord. We miss the Lord by not taking the opportunity to find out where the Lord's at. See, there was a wise person one time told me to get along with your spouse, and then I heard it talking about getting along with your grandchildren. You probably heard it before. The best way to get along with your grandchildren is what? Find out what they want and do it, right? And then somebody said that's a good way to get along with your spouse. Find out what your spouse wants and what? Do it. I found out that's a wonderful way to get along with the Lord, is find out what the Lord wants and do it. See, oftentimes we think of our time of prayer, it's almost like a shopping list. We put all the things out there we want the Lord to do. Lord, we want you to do this, this, and this, you know. And sometimes we get so sometimes upset and anxious because we don't see our shopping list being checked off. But maybe a better way of looking at it is finding out, first of all, is not so much what we want, but what the Lord wants. You know, I sometimes come to the conclusion that God is in the good and Satan is in the evil. And I made a list one time. You know, I went out of John 10:10. It says, the thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. And so I made a chart, you know. This is the good things and this is the bad things. And God's in the good things and God's not in the bad things. But the only problem is sometimes we can't decipher what's good and what's bad. You know, some things, if I look back at it, some of the worst parts of my life have actually turned out to be the good parts of my life. There's parts of my life that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But after it's said and done, I look back at them and think, praise God, that was a good time. That was a good time. That was a time of growth. That was a time of fellowship. That was a time I got closer to the Lord than I'd ever been before. But if you'd asked me straight up, would you like to go through this? And I'd say, no, no way. I wouldn't chose that at all. But so what I'm trying to say to us today is, well, David, he used a method that we don't even know exactly how it worked to determine God's will, but he set as a priority finding out where the Lord is. And that's what I want to suggest to you today is that, you know, we're very quick to pray about, you know, isn't it strange that if we're going on a trip or somewhere, we always stop and pray about going on the trip. You know, get in the car, pray about Lord, watch over us and safety and everything. You know where most accidents happen? They don't happen when you're on the trip. They happen where? When you're close to home. That happened when you're close to home. And what I want to instill in within myself and what I want to instill within you is the very fact is that we begin to be very sensitive to the Lord and His will in our life, not just for the big things, but for the everyday little things. Because actually life is not made up, it's made up of a, it's strange sometimes that it's just the little things that seem to come about to be the most important. So what I want to share with you today is that have you ever noticed that I was talking that, you know, the Bible says for as many that are led by the Spirit of the Lord that are the children of God, we're led. And in Jesus, we sang the song, Jesus said that my sheep, what? Hear my voice and follow me. Now, you just look at those two words. Being led means you're coming along afterwards. We think about people leading something. Well, you always think of someone being in front of, And whatever being led is coming along afterwards. And that actually, that word led, it means to be carried with. In other words, the person that is leading is actually bringing them forth and carrying them. And the Lord, it says, talking about in the Old Testament, it says the Lord alone led him, and there was no strange gods. When, you know, being led by the Lord, being led by the Lord, but in not just the big things of life, but the small things in life and everything that we do. See, I really think there's a lot of people that we're wasting a lot of time spinning our wheels doing something that the Lord's not wanting to bless. There's a lot of churches that have wasted a lot of time and energies and everything trying to do the things that the Lord's not in. We need to find out where the Lord's at. And how do we go about finding out where the Lord's at? Now, that's something that, first of all, I'm talking about a priority, putting a priority. You know, before we start to do something, we got to sit down and say, Lord, now, what do you want to do? Where are you at? And the best way that we can possibly do that is to start off with, of course, finding out what his will is. Now, how do we find out what the will of God is? You know, I'm opening up a can of worms here because I know that there's a lot of different ideas, but I want to bring it right down to just a basic understanding about how we understand word is. Let's first of all determine one of the ways that we don't. Now, this is one of the ways that happened in a fellow by the name of Gideon, one of the judges. You remember Gideon? And the Lord says, you know, mighty man of valor. And the Lord talked to him and about how he was going to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And Gideon just wasn't quite sure about that. So Gideon put out, remember, he put out the fleece. He put out the wool and fleece off of sheep. And he said, now, Lord, if the fleece is wet and the ground around it is dry, he said, I know that's what you want to do. And so he got up the next morning and he took the fleece and he wrung it out, and it was a bowl full of water there. But he said, now, wait a minute, Lord. He said, I don't want to get you all upset and everything, but let's do it just the opposite. Tomorrow morning when I get up, if you're really in this, if this is what you really want, let's have the fleece to be dry and the ground wet. Well, guess what? When he got up the next morning, the ground was wet all around it. And guess what? The fleece was dry. There's a lot of people put out fleeces. I don't know if you've ever put out a fleece or not, but the old saying is those who put out fleeces usually get fleeced. That's almost smacks of witchcraft. It's something. It's just a thing of chance. But you know, the thing about it is that you and I, we've been born of God's Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, but we also are people that still have Adam's race, and we are in the process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and there's a whole lot of us still left in us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And a lot of us wants to be our own boss. A lot of us thinks we're just pretty sharp. A lot of us thinks we know all about. Have you ever tried to give anybody any directions? Now, I know we really live in a world where we have the navigation systems, and before that we had the Garmins and the GPSs and all those things like that. But do you ever remember when you used to stop and ask someone for directions? Now, you women do. Men never. We never do that. That's a woman thing. Women stop and ask. You know, men just drive till their wife talks them into stopping and asking. Yeah. Yeah, we do things like that. But have you ever tried to give somebody instructions and they know more about it than what you do? You start off and you start talking to them and they say, oh, yeah. And then they, and before long, and you get through and you think, well, what did they stop for anyway? And you know, one of the things that we need to learn in the church is being in a place where we're always teachable, where we're always, you know, when we open up a scripture, a lot of times the moment we read a scripture, everybody says, well, I already know what that says. And I've heard that preached on 1,000 times. I know the sermon better than they do and everything. And we just sort of turn it off, you know. There's something about becoming teachable. and opening ourselves up and being receptive to what God wants to do in our lives. And one of the things that, and I'm going to just cut to the chase here. One of the things that is the most sustainable, the most thing is the Holy Scripture, is God's Word. If we want to know what God wants us to do, we read the Bible. And the Bible, somebody says, if you want to hear God speak to you, you know, read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak out loud, read out loud. But I know there's a lot of people that don't agree with me on this, but the most prominent way and the most, can I say, trustworthy way is just read what the Bible has to say. You know, if the Bible says, you know, you shouldn't lie, you know, I'm pretty sure that's God's will that you don't lie. You know, but then we get into sometimes we get into places more specific, huh? More specific. Well, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." What do I say when she walks in and says, "Honey, do I look fat in this dress?" You know, how do we deal with that? You know, and so a lot of times there's things that's not covered in specific ways. And so how do we deal with that? And I want to share with you one of the ways that we don't deal with it is by our feelings. You know, if you're a person that's prone to feelings, we all have different types of feelings, do we not? And I shared with you earlier, sometimes I feel like coming to church, and to be quite frank with you, sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes I feel like praising the Lord. Sometimes I don't feel like. Sometimes I feel like praying, and sometimes I don't. Guess what? Someone once said that when you don't feel like praying, that's when you need to do what? You need to pray. You know, what if we lived our life like that? As far as some of you remember back, if you pattern your life about when to study or when to go to work, and you say, well, I don't feel like studying today, or I don't feel like going to work today, you know, what kind of life would you have? Well, it would be a life that wouldn't be a blessed life, you can say that. It would be a life where if you just go by your feelings, they're up and down, they're in and out. So we don't determine the Lord's will by how we feel. You know, some days I feel like a Christian, other days I might not feel like a Christian, but that doesn't do anything. I don't govern God's will by my circumstances, by the things that's happening. You know, some people say, boy, everything, I tell you what, the money's coming in, the sun's shining, everything's going to plan. God must really be in this. And then somebody else might say, well, it's raining. We don't know where the next dollar's coming from, you know. But does that make any difference? I want to tell you, don't judge whether God's in something or out of something by how the things is taking place. Anybody can say God's in this if everything's going well. But sometimes, if you read the scripture, sometimes, you know, in the book of Habakkuk, it says if the stall's empty, if the crop fails, if everything falls apart, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will give thanksgiving. The circumstances and our feelings and everything doesn't necessarily determine what God wants for us. What God wants for us is best defined by His Word. Jesus one time, He said, He that sent me is with me, for I do always those things that please Him. One of the things that happens when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior is that we have the opportunity to be a God pleaser. And to be a God pleaser opens us up to one of the most wonderful life that you can ever live. It doesn't necessarily say that you're going to have health and wealth and fame and fortune, but you're going to live one of the best lives there always is. There's nothing. If you're looking for a place to be today, if you're looking for a place that you want to be at, the best way for you and for you to be and for me to be is right smack dab in the center of God's will. Finding out what God wants and being in the middle of it is a place where there's, you know, that's what heaven is. Some people really would be very uncomfortable in heaven, because heaven is the only place where there's nothing transpires, takes place, but the absolute will of God. And listen, if you're not happy with the will of God down here, you're going to be really, really unhappy in heaven. You're not going to like heaven. And that's why some people, you know, they make a choice. And that we're people of choices. And what I want to go ahead and say with you is, I want to talk about this specific for just a moment, because, you know, there's things in God's word that sometimes it doesn't maybe cover the minute details. Sometimes there's things in there that's contrast to each other. I like to bring this out in the book of Proverbs. There's a place that says, answer not a fool in his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. I messed that one up. But the next verse says this. One verse says, answer not a fool according to his folly. The next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. Now, what do you think about that? We're talking about verses simultaneous, but the wisdom is the timing. There's time that you do one. There's time when you do something else. How do I know? Well, how do I know? I want to know God's will. I want to know God's specific. I want to follow after. I want to be a leader. It says, for many as led by the Spirit of God. How does the Spirit of God lead us? The Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Our spirit along with His bears witness. Let me tell you. You know, the Bible talks about, I'm throwing in a bunch of stuff here today. But you know, how many has a conscience? You know what a conscience is? A conscience is that little voice of the Spirit on the inside of you that talks to you sometimes. It doesn't go into extreme things. It just simply has about two words. It says stop or what? Go. Or no. You know, it has a way, your conscience. Now, can your conscience be your guide? Not necessarily. You know, there's some people that their conscience is weak. There's some people their conscience is strong. There's some people that your conscience is formed by the culture and society that you lived in. But guess what? When you become a Christian, when you give yourself over to the Lord, your conscience can grow and it can mature. And your conscience can be one of those things that guides along. Listen, there's nothing that a person should be aware of. Paul says, I've lived in all good conscience. We're talking about a man that used to be a murderer. That's living in good conscience. First of all, because he knew Jesus died for his sins, past, present, and future. He knew that Jesus died for his sin. But also, he knew that within him, everything that he could possibly allow the Holy Spirit to work through him, that he tried to follow after the Lord. There's such a thing as living in good conscience. There's such a thing as living in good conscience. But let me tell you a little bit more that goes beyond the conscience. Have you ever heard the term intuition? We talk about women having mother's intuition. It's the intuitive part about it. It's something, it's a knowing. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit works in our life in a knowing. See, I'm the old school that believes if a person comes to know the Lord, you can know it. You can know it. You can know it, first of all, by God's word, and you can know it by there's an inward witness. There's a knowing. And, you know, sometimes you can, God leads you. See, we have a much more sharper image. I have a friend of mine, he's long gone now, but I remember he used to fly for the Civil Air Patrol, and he wasn't yet trained to fly with instruments, and he'd fly by sight. And sometimes if he got in a bad situation where he couldn't see anything, he'd get lost. Now, later on, he got training where he could train and fly by instruments. And see, a lot of times we live our life and we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And God said he'd lead us and guide us by his Spirit. He says his Holy Spirit, he said he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And sometimes we want to lay aside God's inward voice of his Spirit, and we want to say, well, I'm going to be led by my circumstances. I'm going to be led by how I feel. I'm going to be led by society. You know, if you follow after society, if you follow after culture, culture is exact opposite of everything that usually the way the Lord leads us. And if you've been around long enough, you see culture changes. But God wants to lead us by his Spirit. And so I want to leave you with these thoughts today, is basically we have a river. Inside that river, there's water flowing. And that water is held in check by the banks or the sides of that river. God's word is like the banks of that river. It holds us. The Holy Spirit never speaks opposite of what God's word says. People say all kind of weird things. Well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, folks, it wasn't God. God didn't tell you to I'm not going to go there. I'd let you. God didn't tell you that if it doesn't line up with Scripture. See, the Scripture is the banks. The Scripture, it's the general thing. But within us, we have the Holy Spirit. We have His Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. We have that intuitive thing. We have that conscience that's being matured and everything. We have the inward witness. Paul said, or John said, you don't need anyone to teach you, but the anointing which you received of him in 1 John 2:27, I believe, he said, teaches you all things. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you in all truth. Just like Jesus, you know, said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow after me. Well, the voice of the Holy Spirit, this inward thing, gives us direction in life. And there's nothing worse in life than being out in some place and not knowing which way to go. But I'm thoroughly convinced. Paul said, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication. One of the first things we need to pray is, Lord, where are you? What do you want me to do? It seems like that when we find out what God wants us to do, see, Jesus said, when you pray, he said, don't use vain repetition such as the heathen do, because they think they'll be heard for their what? Their much speaking. But he says, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of even before you ask. He knows what you have need of. But then why do we ask? Well, there's something, it seems like God doesn't work in people's lives until we give him, can I say this, permission? Till we allow him to work in our lives? See, God can't really save you until you open up your life and receive him. God can't work in your life. And there's a thing here that is that when we find out what God's will is, you know, today what you see it, and I'm going to close with this. You see it a lot of times, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. But see, a lot of the prayers the people's already praying is not prayers. It's necessarily, God, you have your way. It's God, do it my way. We've got it all figured out. For God to heal this land, we got to get rid of this one and put this one in. Or take that one out and put someone else. We've got to do all these things, and we've got to do all these things. Wonder what would be wrong with just saying, Lord, what do you want to do? Where's the Lord at in this? Our country's in a heck of a mess. A lot of people's in things. But when we find ourselves, maybe we should ask ourselves and still having it all figured out, saying, I know this is the way God wants it to go, and this is the way God, you know, that's exactly what happened to Israel. Old Jeremiah says, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to be judged by this. And you know what they did with him? And there's other prophets, same right along, same errors saying, no, be it far from you. It's not going to happen, everything. They took Jeremiah and put him in a miry pit. They said, we don't want to hear that, you know. Well, let's find out where God's at in this thing. And when we find out where God's at, then we can line our praise up with him and our prayers up with him. And that's the same way with your situation. You know, where's God at in this? You get sick, you want to find out, you know, Lord, where are you at? What do you want to do? Do you want to heal me? Lord, do you want me to go on? You know, Lord, where are you at in this? Lord, where are you at in our church? Do you want us to do this? Do you want us to do that? You know, how many's got ideas? Well, we all have ideas, but where's the Lord at? And that's the whole point of this message today is maybe we should take time and just simply ask, Lord, where are you at in this? And realize that he can talk to us generally through his word, and he can also speak to us specifically by the inward witness of his Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us. And that witness of that Spirit is going to line up with that word out there.